Well, two academics have painted a bleak picture of the likely outcomes of land expropriation without compensation. The findings from their macroeconomic impact assessment flags lower capital formation, a deep recession, rising budget deficits and debt levels. One of the academics, Roelof Botha from the University of Pretoria's Gordon Institute of Business Science, joins us in studio now with some perspective on these findings. Thanks so much, Roelof, for joining us today. So the headline your study has triggered today, land expropriation without compensation spells economic disaster. Where you are saying this is a robust, factual and in fact objective economic impact assessment of expropriation without compensation, what's the basis of your findings? I mean, what exactly did your impact assessment entail?
Well, let's start at the beginning. I was so concerned, me and my team. The econometric analysis was conducted by Prof. Ilse Botha from the University of Johannesburg. There's no nepotism. She was from Rensburg 25 years ago, best student I ever had. And but we were so concerned about this issue that we decided to have a look at what could happen if we do it. So it's clinical. It's not about the merits of whether it's right or wrong. And we started out by looking at capital formation as a percentage of GDP. And capital formation is a concept which is not always well understood. This is not about money. It can be about money, but it's essentially the assets without which you cannot produce goods and services. The studio we're sitting in, the cameras, that's all, that's capital formation. It's a bucky for a small builder. It's a tractor for a farmer. And if people are uncertain about whether they can actually continue owning their capital, their economic capital, or the land on which it is built, then they're not going to invest as much. And that is capital formation. It used to be called gross domestic fixed investment. Mm-hmm. So we had to look at seven countries where that had implemented expropriation without comprehension. That's my take on it. And in every single case, capital formation as a percentage of GDP declined quite dramatically. And the average for the seven countries that we did was about 14%. In our econometric model, we decided, okay, let's take a conservative estimate, two of them, a 5% decline and a 10% decline over 8 quarters, if we do it. There's a very strong correlation between capital formation and GDP. And the results, as you've indicated, are scary.
Okay, so where you're presenting that case, we've got President Ramaphosa believing that the process of expropriating land without compensation will enhance growth and increase agricultural production and food security. I mean, do you think that's simply irresponsible messaging or a mere electioneering tool ahead of 2019?
I must be quite honest, I'm not in the habit of not agreeing with our new president. I think he's a terrific guy and I think he's on the right track. But I'm convinced that there's a caveat to his understanding of what land expropriation without compensation means. If it's government land, then by definition it's not really without compensation because they're taking land from themselves. In fact, on the way here, on a news station, I heard that in Joburg, the public sector, the municipality, which is part of government, is actually now giving land to the private sector. This is exactly the reverse of expropriation without compensation. It's about private property rights. So if they can, our report is not inherently against land reform. You have to be very naive in South Africa if you don't realize that land reform is very important. But we must just do it in a smart way.
Okay, so where your report highlights the risks then and the repercussions of pursuing this, incorrectly, how do we start to then alter the racially skewed pattern of land ownership in an orderly process of land reform, which will enhance stability in the country? Are there proposals you're actually putting on the table?
You see, our time was running out to have any kind of impact on the Constitutional Review Committee, because hopefully they will be reading this report. It will be sent to them tonight, the executive summary at least, and the full report on demand. But the next phase, which I will probably start researching within the next couple of weeks, is to look at case studies where we have already had in South Africa over the last 20 years very successful programs of land reform where it has boiled down to a win-win situation through partnerships, through business plans, which where you have a value is being added then by the beneficiaries of the reform, but the other partners that are involved, the current landowners, they also add value in terms of profit sharing in terms of skills that they bring to the table. We must understand that the land tenure patterns in Africa have been developed over 350 years, three and a half centuries. You cannot correct that with a couple of months' work for a constitutional review committee in Parliament. Mm-hmm. What we need is a land CODESA, a permanent secretariat that can take this forward on a case-by-case level and in such a way that we do not scare off investors. If we scare off investors and capital formation declines, then it is a disaster.
As you say, you're handing in this report to the committee, which is due to make a decision on the issue later this week. How much of a bearing do you expect this to have? I mean, where are your confidence levels sitting in that regard?
I'm an eternal optimist and known for that. And I'm convinced that they're not going to allow this disaster, which was Zimbabwe, which was Venezuela. Those are two recent case studies of what happens if you take land without compensation and you destroy the principle of private property rights. I don't think they'll do that. And I'm hoping that this will be one of the nails in the coffin of this really stupid idea. Land reform, yes, of course, but pragmatically and within the market principles.
Well, certainly a very hot socio-economic, political hot potato that we're dealing with at this stage of the game. Roelof, let's leave it there for this evening. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Roelof Wetter is with the University of Pretoria's Gordon Institute of Business Science.